All right, what's going on, folks? Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to another episode of the Bordello. It's episode 241, live in sunny Miami, Florida. Might be a little windy. We have a hurricane warning impending. I don't know when that's coming. Tomorrow, maybe. I've got a crew with me right now who are all sitting around the pool. They're off camera, and their identity shall remain anonymous to avoid any potential risk of threats from the indigenous community. I'd like to start off with an apology. This is an apology to anyone who watched the last episode of the podcast and was offended by my decision to disable comments. And that's it. That's the only thing I want to apologize for. And the only reason I did that was because Samson, the guy I had on, is a very nice guy, but he's a very sensitive guy. He's funny, but he does not quite have a thick skin that you might argue is required to deal with the sort of thing that might happen if you just, you know, talk on the internet. And so, you know, we said some stuff, it was clipped, it was cut. I put it out there, and there was one clip in particular. To be fair, in the case of this clip, I didn't exactly do myself any favors. I did hashtag native TikTok, hashtag Kanawaki. I did really try to push it to these folks, you know. I probably could have been a little more, you know, mindful about the fact that they, you know, tend to be a very, very proud group. They take a lot of, you know, cultural matters very personally. And I will say that perhaps I spoke a little clumsily when I listened back to the episode. Now, I stand by everything that was said. Of course, we were talking about homeless people and how in, you know, Western Alberta and in certain other cities, they're big into fentanyl. In Montreal, that's less the case. There's a little bit of crack, mostly just drinking. Many of the Inuits who are homeless in Montreal, for example, tend to just drink. That's all I was saying. And, you know, I don't even have to defend it because obviously that's what was said on the pod, right? But the way that I went about saying it, like I'm thinking live on the fly and it's a little clumsy. So, you know, whatever. I'm just trying to make a larger point. And then I kind of pivoted and was talking about how, you know, obviously, you know, drinking and alcohol does absolutely, unfortunately, butt fuck, you know, many communities on Native Indigenous reservations. That's it. That's all that was said. Anything? I think the real backlash was like Samson fucking telling a story and then just making a joke. He was saying that, well, I mean, whatever. I mean, it was in the last podcast. You can go back and listen to it. I'm not taking it down. I have absolutely no shame whatsoever. The only reason why any, you know, clips were taken down was because Samson was uncomfortable with it. And I respected his wishes. I would have not disabled any comments. I don't care. Bring it on. Whatever. I mean, you know, to be fair, like, I'm in exile right now. I'm in exile in Miami. If things get, like, any worse, I might just have to go hide in, like, Key West or something. I might have to go, like, hide in the Keys. I will say, I'm a little embarrassed. There was one lady who apparently is the principal of the school that we were discussing. And she said, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. And I said, okay, well, I actually privately messaged her and said, hey, how about you come on the podcast? Maybe it could be fun, you know? You could teach your students about, like, you know, opening discourse and such. And then I thought about it for a day and was like, you know what? Actually, no. And I told her, you got 24 hours. If you don't answer, it ain't happening. And she didn't, so that's it. I'm moving on. I was like, what am I doing here? Fucking, you know, give you can't heed to the insanity, you know? So we're moving on from that, obviously. Now, obviously, if I wanted to, like, double down, which I'm not doing, I would never do that. Like, I'm moving on from this. But, of course, like, you know, people are saying, come to the fucking reservation, we'll fuck you up, you know, which is unfortunate because they have a great poker club there, which is fun, you know. I have to now, you know, we're getting two thumbs up from the people in, you know, in the off stage left that are approving of the poker club on, you know, in Kanawaki. Unfortunately, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go there in peace anymore. There's a golf club there, which, now, I'm not a great golfer, and it's one of the few courses that I can go to and not lose my balls, figuratively and literally. I fucking lose my balls when I go to a golf course. Literally, I fucking break my balls. I lose my balls, like physically, like in like the Goodfellas way, you know, fucking New York, fucking lose my balls. That's me when I go to a golf course. I fucking lose my head all the time. But when I go to the Cog in Kahnawake, it's very easy to play. I enjoy that course. So now I might have to play with a balaclava or whatever. Now, again, some people were saying you're not pronouncing it right. It's Gognawug, not Kahnawake. And, you know, I could have doubled down and said, hey, you know, conquered people don't make the rules, you know, but I didn't say that because that would be distasteful, right? So I didn't say that, of course, and I never would. You know, people are saying, come to the res, we'll fuck you up. I could have said, listen, I'll just breathe on you with my European breath and I'll fuck you up. I didn't say that because that would be uncool. I would never say anything like that. So we're, you know, we're moving on. I like how I'm a white guy too. That's the funny thing now. Like, dude, look at me. Look at the color I am right now. I've been in Florida for 1 week. I'm whatever I say I am right now. I could be indigenous if I want to. I walk into a fucking, we walked into a Venezuelan restaurant the other day and they just speak Spanish to you here because it's Miami. And like, they just look at me and assume, yeah, Hispanic, you know, I could be whatever I want to be, you know? But, you know, I suppose the wind is really picking up here. I don't know if the fucking, I'm going to have to get real close to the mic here. Listen, I could apologize for the transgressions of my ancestors, but unfortunately my ancestors were illiterate fucking peasants in, you know, Sicily, probably living, you know, even worse off than, you know, Native American people living off the land, you know, I will say this, the terrain in the Boreal Forest and in the Champlain Valley is much better than the rocky, you know, hills in Calabria where my family's from. It's not a competition, but, you know, that's, I think that's a fair point, you know? You know, I'm not cut from, like, you know, my ancestors weren't exactly fucking eating ribeyes with congressmen, you know? I'm killing off camera right now. I'm getting chuckles and laughter and smiles off camera, but the wind, this mic is very isolatory. You it is not picking up the little chuckles off camera. No, but I, you know, so that's it. I mean, there's not much else to say. It's been an interesting couple days. I will say, like, you know, there was one guy in particular. I will say I wasn't scared at all except for one guy who I believe is from Iqaluit Nunavut, who commented under a bunch of stuff saying, you know, I'm going to kill you, whatever, fuck you. And he got mad at me because apparently I referred to Inuit people as Inuits, plural, with an S. He said, you called us Inuits, not even Inuit. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, you got to level with me on that one. You got to give me a little more leeway than that. Come on. You got to give me that one. You got to fucking let me have a mulligan. That one's like, I think there's a lot of people that don't know about that one. I think that's pretty, you know, whatever. I think that's pretty above board. But, yeah, no, I was a little freaked out because I looked at that guy's account and he had a gun. He had a gun in his most recent post. He had a hunting rifle. And, you know, he said, you better not come up here and I'll, you know, or I'll fuck you up. So, as if I didn't need any less reason to go up to Iqaluit Nunavut. I'll pass on that one if, you know, my safety depends on it, I suppose. But, you know, I think it's a little fucked up. Samson's a Jew. My guest on the last pod was a Jew. I think it's a little fucked up to go after a group of people who were almost exterminated off the face of the earth. That's a little uncool, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? I think we need to have reverence for people who have almost been exterminated by, you know, by groups of people who didn't care about them and said, we're going to have our way with them. I think we need to be mindful of these very sensitive matters. But yeah, I mean, listen, maybe we'll just start a race war or something like the Sopranos episode where like they're celebrating Columbus Day and I'll just go down with my paisans to, you know, like Kahnawake. We'll like have a standoff across the river, you know, we'll have like LaSalle Italians on one side and we'll have like, you know, the indigenous on the other, you know, it'll be like the Columbus Day episode of the Sopranos, except the only issue is I've kind of isolated my, you know, my key group and my foot soldiers, which are Laval Italians who are like supposed to ideally come to my defense. I've kind of isolated them in recent weeks now. So now I'm kind of a man without a country. Now I'm kind of caught in the middle, you know? I'm going to have to pick a side, you know? One of the people I'm here with who shall remain nameless, maybe this will be an appeal to the indigenous community. You said, you who shall not be named, I'm pointing to you. You said you worked with them? You audited them, which is great. That's what they love. They want to pay more taxes. That's what they want. They want the white man coming in there into their businesses and saying, you fucked up. You owe us more money. That's what they want. That's great. I'm being told by, I'm outnumbered three numbers people to one right now. I'm being told that I don't know what auditing is. I thought auditing was you go into an office, everyone sighs and says, oh, these fucking miserable, like these horrible auditors are here and they're going to see if we're playing by the rules or not. Am I close or not? Ah, she turned away. Because that's pretty much it. That's what it is, isn't it? As I sip my fucking Costco Thermoflask that I ripped on Paola for foisting on me 2 weeks ago. Now when it gets fucking hot and it's like a sauna out here, I'm drinking Liquid IV through it. It is what it is. But no, you were saying that you dined with them, you broke bread. What's their bread called? What's it called? But what? Badu. Manu, Badu. Manu, listen, I'm not hearing what she's saying. It's very windy out here, but I'm trying. We're trying to bridge the cultural gap here is the point. Badoon. Patoon. Spell it. B-A-N-O-O-K. Oh, Banook. Banook. Could we put like, could we like, if we melted some fior di latte with like some crushed tomatoes on like some Badook, would it be good? Yeah. Is it gluten free? It's similar to focaccia is what I'm being told off camera. We may have more in common than we might have otherwise thought, people. You know, we're on a real cultural experience out here. I walked into a Hispanic restaurant the other day. It was a Venezuelan restaurant called Doggies, which, and their website, Paolo, what was their website? Was it eatdoggies.com? Considering they have a reputation for eating dogs in Caracas, I don't know if that's a great fucking move. And Nunzio pointed out to me, sorry, I just blew your cover. One of my friends who was here, that's his alias. He's not even Italian. He's actually fucking Persian. He's a Rush. He's Persian. His name is not Nunzio. That's his Italian alias that we've given him when he's with us. You were saying that there was a dog racing track. They race greyhounds next to that restaurant. Chris Italia was saying it's very big out here. So I don't know. I mean, that wasn't a great look. But anyway, so we walked into this Venezuelan restaurant and they took a look at me and said, Hispanic. To be fair, I look like I should be parking cars. I had like a Yankees visor and like a skinny black t-shirt and these sunglasses on and curls, curly hair, just, you know, peering out of this visor. And they took one look at me and they asked me like, what's up? And I said, hola, ¿qué tal? Somos cuatro. Que sea fuera o dentro, no importa. Like, I'm speaking well. And here's the issue. When you go to a place where they speak Spanish, when you speak Italian like I do, and you speak Spanish kind of like I do, which is to say I speak Italian almost fluently, not quite. Everyone says they speak it fluently on this side. They're almost all lying. I'm not going to lie to you and say I speak fluently, but I speak pretty well. And as such, you know, I went to a French school. So the link with Spanish is quite, you know, real, right? And so, and I'm decent with languages. So I can like kind of, for a few quick, like, quips, I'm able to, you know, give off an impression that I actually am a native fluent Spanish speaker. And that fucks me up when the waitresses come then, and they start, like, speaking to me, like, in full-on quick sentences, and I just get totally lost when they start telling me what's with the picanha arepa. And, you know, they ask me a fucking question, and I kind of just say, no, it's fine. I always, like, I never want to admit that I don't understand what they're saying. I never say, no entiendo. Or, you know, I don't say, I don't understand. I just say, no, no, está bien. No, está bien. No, está bien. They'll ask something because it's restaurant speak, right? You can kind of like gauge what it is they're asking. Do you want a napkin? Are you good? Do you want sparkling or flat? Like, do you need sparkling water? No, no, está bien. But like, I'm not really sure if she asked me that, you know? But then what I really get fucked is like when I forget the word or don't know the word for like pepper shaker. Then I have to like 15 minutes into the meal, I have to like swap to like English. And then they just like get, you know, they get like totally thrown for a loop. Like, what the fuck? Like, I've been speaking Spanish to this guy the whole fucking night, you know? But we've had a great time. We've had a great time. My buddy and I have been looking to try as many, you know, cultures as possible. You know, sample them out. The women, you know, the food, of course. That's sampling women. We went to IHOP the other night, and there was a titty bar across the street. We were joking that we should just like throw, because Paola and I have, that's not her name, right? We're leaving names out of this episode. My girlfriend and I, whose name shall, which is not Paola, which shall be, you know, remain anonymous. We share location with each other. We were joking that when we went into IHOP at like 11 o'clock at night for pancakes, like I should just like throw my phone into the bush. We should just like go to the titty bar, but we didn't do that. But you know, so we've been sampling like cuisines of many different cultures. And the other day, yesterday, we dropped the girls off in the design district so that they could go buy Tiffany rings. Real scam on those, by the way. I was ranting to you about these last night. Like, the cheapest one is 12 grand, the most expensive one is 68 grand. Now, I don't know about you, 12 grand's a lot for anyone, right? Like, net salary, most people are, like, what do they say? A quarter of your salary is what you're supposed to spend on a ring. So that would mean you have to make, like, you got to be making six figures, pretty much, gross, to clear about 50 grand net to be able to spend 12 grand on the cheapest ring, you know? And most people aren't making 100 grand. A lot of people are. Most people, like, aren't out of school, right? When you're young, it's tough. Like, and these fucking guys, it's never enough. It's never enough. You get the $12,000 ring, and this fucking fruitcake who's selling you the shit goes, because, and it's got to be, I don't know why I'm pointing that out, but it's kind of relevant because they're better salespeople. I think they can appeal to the women a little more because it's like, hey, listen, I know what you want. I'm a good-looking guy. I'm well-kept, but I'm like, you know, I'm caring, and I'm a good sales guy. I'm very, empathetic. It's better, you know? Gay men are better salesmen of jewelry to women, I would assume, right? I think they could just appeal to them more. Now, the other way you could go is if you're like a really hot guy and it's like you're trying to make these women want to fuck you. That could also work if you like come across as really straight. But let's just go with, like, you know, in the case of this guy, it was a flamer, okay, from what I've been led to understand. And this guy is telling them, don't worry about it. You know, you can graduate to the J-Lo ring if you'd like. You can graduate. As your man makes more money, you can upgrade the diamonds, you'll send it in. When is it enough? You know? So anyways, we dropped them off at the design district, and we went for Caribbean food, went to a Jamaican restaurant, which was lovely, and we were in Little Haiti, a mere 2 kilometers from the design district, which, by the way, into the marina. That's Miami, baby. That's Florida. That's the U.S., okay? You drive through fucking, you know, streets where on one side, you've got 3 consecutive bungalows in a row, which have been built in the last 5 years with state-of-the-art security systems and infrastructure. And then on the other side, you have these, little pink guys, these little pink homes, these little yellow homes, these little multicolored homes that you might see in the Caribbean, which look like they might have been erected in 1962, with no driveways and like barbed wire fence, and Caribbean guy sitting on furniture chair, literally with chickens and dogs running around in the front yard. And then 2 kilometers away, you have the fucking design district as Range Rovers are driving by on the street. The world of haves and have-nots, okay? That's what it is down here. You've got fucking Givenchy, and then 1.5 kilometers away, 1 mile away, you have a pawn shop. And you have a barber shop. We saw a barber shop. We saw a Haitian barber shop, and I was like, you know what? I'm popping in. I want to get a lineup. And I mean, fucking get a load of this, guys. This guy, Charmagne, hooked me up. Hang on, let me just get these fucking things back on. This Haitian guy, Charmagne, hooked us up. There are a ton of Haitian people in Montreal, New York, and Miami. New York because it's New York, Montreal because it's French, Miami because it's close. So we're from one of the 3, like, epicenters of Haitians in North America outside of Haiti in the Caribbean. And, you know, I walk in, I speak French, and I kind of do it, like, I put on an accent that's not patronizing, but it's, like, not, like, patois, but, like, kind of, like, I have a little bit of a Creole accent, but I can't speak Creole. I don't go in full Keb. I don't go in full Montreal. Like, I don't go, like, RDS hockey analyst, you know? I go in with a more continental French accent, and he's kind of happy that this white boy speaks French, right? And I tell him, listen, I just want you to do my skin fade. Can you do that? Yeah, $25, great, no problem. He's fucking scoffing, like, jerk chicken and rice and beans as we're walking in. He's, like, knuckle deep in it, dude. And he just, like, you know, props up. He sees a client. He's got, like, used shoes that he's selling on a counter next to him. And he gets up, runs to the bathroom, washes his hands, starts furiously washing his mouth out, you know, to clear his breath. He's got a Cuban link chain on. He's got a Haiti, Polo Ralph Lauren, purple and red polo. He's getting ready to take me. He sits me down, and he goes, hang on, I'll be right back. We see he steps out to his Corolla right in front of the building, goes into the passenger seat to fetch something, comes back. One of his friends enters the building, starts yelling something at him in Creole, and he goes, attends 2 minutes, hang on 2 minutes, I'll be right back. He fucking steps out. I stop paying attention to what's going on or where they went. I'm looking up, down, sideways, in fucking circles. I'm looking at the tools that he's got because I cut hair sometimes, right? So I'm like inspecting the tools. I turn to my left outside the fucking building, and the car's gone. So me and my buddy are like, what the fuck? Where did he go? He's like, I don't know. I didn't see him go. He just took off in the car. This is the most Haitian experience ever. 10 minutes later, he comes back. So, yeah, sorry about that. I think he had to, like, get booster cables for his friend or something. You know? He had to jumpstart his buddy's car. And there's this old man with pants, you know, hiked up to his, you know, mid-torso, falling asleep in the chair next to us. It's an older school barbershop, but he's got AirPods in. He's watching soccer, and he's falling asleep. He's in and out of sleep. Some mom brings a little kid into the shop to get his hair sheared. And the old man is telling him, arrête de bouger, stop moving. And the guy was fucking rattled, dude. The little guy was fidgeting like crazy. I think this other one little kid, I didn't see what happened because at one point I just knocked out. Like, I was in a coma. I just fucking closed my eyes and was like, oh, this is amazing. It almost hurt because the guy was using, like, a clipper brush to brush the hair off me. But it was, like, pleasant almost, even though it was kind of painful. Very aggressive haircut. The blades coming out, right? But it just, like, made me pass out. It's kind of like getting a tattoo if you've ever had one. Like, if you get a tattoo on your back or something, you might sometimes just, like, pass out in a weird, state of pain. But anyway, so I wake up at one point, I come back to, and there's this kid like staring out the window, some other kid who's unaccompanied, and my barber, Shah Mang, turns to me and he goes, wait for your daddy. Wait for your daddy. Wait for your daddy. He's coming back. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? And the great thing is I told him, don't touch the beard, please. I didn't trust him to touch the beard. And then at one point, you know, I got my head back, and before I know it, he does the thing that you're afraid any barber's going to do that you've never been to before. He's taking creative liberty. He starts touching my beard. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll see where this goes, right? And at one point, I kind of look, and I'm not liking it. I'm like, fuck, that's a really aggressive hook. Shit, I really wanted it to, like, you know, I really wanted to grow it in a little bit here. I'm not loving this, but whatever. We'll see it through. Guys, when I fucking left, I mean, I opened my eyes at the end of the cut. I was like, you know what? Like, he gave me the little pinch here. He gave me, like, the little Dominican, like, the hood pinch. You know, the lip line up really fucking sharp, and I did not ask him to. That morning, I lined up my own beard with a blade, and he still found a way to, like, line it up in a way that was even more sharp. And I will say, that's, if you have a barber that's able to, like, disregard your advice and you still wind up leaving happier for it, that's a winner right there. So that guy So I paid him double. I mean, you gotta tip well. You got to tip well. That's the thing. My goal one day is to be, like, so wealthy. I realized this at a restaurant the other day. I want to be able to be, like, curt and for the waiter to be like, ah, he's a bit of a prick. You know what I mean? Sometimes you like to speak to them, but sometimes you're like, ah, fuck, I'm not into it tonight. Will that be all? Yes. You don't need to expand, right? Just very, very blunt. They think that guy's a fucking prick. And then you just fucking dick slack them with, like, a 48% tip that they're not expecting, you know? It's like they can't even be mad at you at that point. That's the move. That's almost the goal. To be, like, such a prick that you can just kind of, like, you could pay people off. You could buy people off almost. You could buy off their kindness, you know? How much time am I at here? Fuck, the hurricane is coming. I gotta see what's going on over here. Ming. All right, so that's what's been going on the past few days, that's it. I had a thought also the other day. We were out at a restaurant. There were some people smoking outside. And, you know, you could tell, like, some people on vacation, like, socially smoke, and you could tell just other people are, like, just, they're always smoking. They're just smokers. You know, I think I have no respect. In North America, I have no respect for regular smokers. What are you doing? It's fucking gross. You're smoking all the time, every day on the job. It's not a dignified activity, right? But I also have no respect for people that never smoke. I have very little to no respect for non-smokers who are, like, always sticking their nose up to it and saying, yeah, no. The only people I respect are the people that'll occasionally have a dart. That's the move, 100%. But then I realized, I'm trying to work this out here, but I think in Europe, the only people I do respect when it comes to smoking are the people that actually do smoke like they're supposed to, or the people I respect the most are the non-smokers in Europe, because there's such a social, like, obligation to almost do it, that to, you know, exude that kind of strength and discipline is impressive to me. The people I have the least respect for in Europe are the casual smokers, because it's like, fucking pick a side. What are you doing? You know, have some balls. Are you in or you out? The fuck? It's acceptable to smoke here. Why are you casually smoking? Why are you pretending to care about your health? Everyone can smoke here. What are you doing? You know, have a pair of balls, do it, own the consequences, say, this is just what we do here. It's how we do things. Or don't do it at all. You know, either way, you need to fucking just have balls, have convictions. Dude, my hair's a fucking mess right now. I'm trying to wear this fucking stupid thing like a bandana. What's up? I am a casual vacation smoker, yes, because that's the only way to do it. I don't respect the Europeans who are casual smokers in Europe. I'm a North American resident. So that's how that works. Paula, which is not your name. Fuck, man. So, I mean, look, there's been some shit going on in the football world also. So I've talked about how I don't really discuss women's football that much just because I'm personally, like, I'm not that interested in it. But, you know, something happens. You got to talk about it. So apparently Spain won the Women's World Cup, and I didn't know who this guy was, but I learned that the president of the Spanish Football Association kissed a midfielder on the mouth during the medal ceremony in the most typical Spanish fashion ever. He kissed her on the mouth, and he's not apologizing for it, you know? He's kind of saying, oh, sorry, you know, I got caught up in the moment, you know, as opposed to, oh, that's never acceptable, right? Like, to be honest, there's no coming back from that when it happens in 2023 out in public, you know what I'm saying? Now, I get that this is the Mediterranean, it's Spain, it's like a global scandal now. There's no coming back from it. But yet, the guy won't just step down. You really have to admire just how Spanish this motherfucker is. To kiss a lady on the mouth, forcefully, who you're basically the boss of. You write her check, or you kind of, like, sign off on, like, the bonus check that they get as World Cup winners. And to just not apologize for it and say, yeah, you know, I didn't even think he said I should have asked. I think he was like, you know, I got to be a better president. I mean, that's it. That's the takeaway. Like, you know, how else could you be a better president? Like, don't commit tax evasion, right? There are a lot of ways. Like, it's not a very specific solution or response to that situation, you know? But he fucking kissed this lady on the mouth. I think her name was Jenny Hermoso. And it's like, bro, it's, you know, I don't talk about women's football ever. And it's like, fuck, when I do, it's got to be about this. It takes a man kissing a woman against her will for me to talk about women's football. This is actually good for the brand, I would argue. This might be good for the brand. I would have not known anything about the ceremony had he not done that. Now, it's not ideal. He's got to go because the brouhaha will not end until he goes, right? Optically, he's got to go. But, you know, I'm talking about it. I would have never talked about it had it not happened, you know? And I don't know. It's just kind of interesting that this guy is kind of just doubling down on it. He did it, and he's like, you know what? I did it. You know, I'm a man. I got urges. I got instincts. Might not have been the best, smartest move. But I think he tried to, like, pressure her to, like, appear in an apology video. I don't know, it is kind of funny when people are just, like, so clueless. It's like, you need to have a certain level of EQ and know that it ain't happening. There's no coming back. You gotta kind of just, you gotta almost own it. And, if you're gonna apologize, you gotta kind of just be honest. You gotta be very honest. You gotta say, yeah, I don't really know why I did that. I found her very attractive. I think it's wrong that I did it. And I suck him to an urge, and that's it. Like, it happened. Like, if you, like, break down what actually happened there. The Spanish football president, who's probably just a horny pig, right? Like, many men are, but he's a Spanish bald fucking horn dog who used to play football, you know? He's in his 40s. He's divorced. I looked him up. I did a little background research. He's probably got, like, the same disposition as, like, a Spanish porn star that eats chorizo and fucks up the ass. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? One of those guys. Like Nacho Vidal type, you know? He's like, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it. I'm this powerful guy and can fucking lay it on her. It's like he probably is just a really horned up guy who couldn't help it. Does that make it right? No, but it's not the first time we've seen something like that happen before. You got to just kind of, like, own it for the behavior it is. You're like, yeah, I just got caught up in the moment. There's no excuse, you know. I'll take a suspension, whatever. I don't know. The only way out of it is you got to almost let it blow over. You got to just kind of go into hiding and say, I'm stepping down, you know, provisionally. And that's it. But the hard thing is, you know, he's not, like, he thought he was going to, like, get, elected to the FIFA executive board at some point. Because anyone that gets to, like, the upper echelons of any executive position ever is kind of a sociopath. They wanted to get to where they're at. They slit throats to get there, and they are not at the final destination because it's never enough for guys like that. That's the point. So he wants to be president of FIFA because that's what everyone wants. And like, he probably still thinks there's a chance it can happen. It's really interesting when people just can't let go of like an idea. You're seeing this guy's life and everything he ever saw for himself like disappear before him. And by the way, like becoming like an important person like that, just like, you know, a large organization that people care about, the Spanish Football Federation, like being the president of that is relevant. You can get pussy from that alone forever. You can get clout from that alone forever. You can get good money from that alone forever. You know, legitimate money. You could take kickbacks, whatever. You can make legit money or not legit money forever in that job, but it wasn't enough for him. I can almost guarantee you that, right? No one just thinks, very few people just think, all right, I'll stop at this level, which, you know, I had to kill people to get to. You know, so he just, he couldn't fathom that, like, everything he'd ever worked for, ever since retiring as a footballer, was gone. At the time of recording, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if he stepped down or not. I mean, he doesn't survive this, obviously. But, like, what if he just doesn't step down? Who can fire him? There's probably a legit answer to that, but I don't actually know who could fire the president of a football federation. I don't know if he can get, like, voted out or whatever. I don't know if FIFA can kick him out. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I don't know. He could just kind of, like, ride it out forever and say, it'll go away, you know? That's basically what I was telling Samson, too. Like, I was like, dude, like, this will go away at some point. You know, 200 people commenting, you know, calling you racist. It'll go away. It doesn't matter, you know. You got to own the shit you say. You got to trust that there's nothing wrong with telling a story. And he couldn't do it. He's like, no, I got to, you know, just take it down, please. I'm losing my mind. I was like, all right, if you're going to fucking kill yourself, you know, fuck, I'll talk you off of the ledge, you know, fine, we'll take it down. But it's almost like you just never step down, you know. It's like if you don't step down, eventually people are just going to have to go, all right, well, he's not going anywhere, you know. Like, I would have liked it if that Kanawaki thing, like, made the news, you know, the local news. Probably wouldn't have been ideal, you know, because, like, again, I think I spoke a little clumsily when trying to express the point I was trying to make, but ultimately, I don't think there was anything fundamentally wrong with it. It was just kind of, like, choppy and all over the place, you know, but you could still decipher what I was trying to say. So it's like, you gotta just fucking buckle down, own it, and anyway, see what's going on. Is, ladies, is Luis Rubiales still the president of the Spanish Football Federation? Sorry? No, it doesn't look like you have the answer, but it looks like you have a cell phone. Do you have your phone with you, bro? Let's just assume he's still in charge by the time this goes out. He could stick around forever. It's fine. It's fine. I don't even need it. I don't even need you to look it up. You didn't want to do it when I asked you to. You gave me attitude. You were trying to be sassy with me. You fucking went to Tiffany yesterday. You saw how expensive the rings are. You feel like top shit now. You know what? Like, you don't even bother looking it up. What's up? Tell the audience about your experience at Sicilian Open. He's suspended? Who suspended him? Sorry? FIFA! I'm listening to this article headline. The mic won't pick you up, so I'm just going to repeat what you're saying. Spanish football chief, Luis Rubiales. Mother on hunger strike over son's treatment. That's a lady who likes to be fucking choked. His mama's a freak. She's defending her son's actions. I've always admired mothers who will, like, defend their son who's a murderer doing, like, 25 to life. Hey, my baby boy, he's my sweet little boy, you know? In a desperate move, you repeat, sorry. In a desperate move, the mother of Spain's football chief has locked herself in a church in southern Spain. And declared a hunger strike as prosecutors opened an investigation against her son. Well, all right. Does anyone care? Like she's going to crack at some point. Is she going to die over this? Because no one's going to feed her. No one's going to say, please, Mrs. Robiales, please eat. You know, maybe the priest? He kissed a footballer, a female footballer. See, this is what happens when you have women playing football and you make the fucking shorts small, you know, the way Sepp Blatter wanted. Is this what you want, people? Do you want more scandals? Honestly, now listen, I'm fucking around, but you will, I'm not even kidding you. Luis Rubiales, a guy like that, the Spanish football chief, and you probably do have people out there, like maybe the president of like the Trinidad Football Association, who sees this and goes, do we really need women's football? Que danno? This is causing problems, you know. Like, you do have people that are probably unironically, you know, yielding that as a takeaway. Bro, you wanted me to talk about Sicilian oven? We were there with people from LaSalle who, they were nice, but I will say this. I think a few weeks ago I fucked up when I said that Laval Italians are the worst. It might have to be LaSalle. Some people corrected me in the comments. Now, again, this is a very hyper-local Montreal thing, but I think that people from LaSalle, Italians from LaSalle, to put this into perspective, are so ashamed of the fact they're from LaSalle that they deny they're from LaSalle. We have a person here who's from LaSalle who says, I'm not from LaSalle. I'm from Villemard or Verdun or a neighboring town. I thought you had. I could have sworn I once heard you say, I grew up in Verdun or something. You're a proud LaSalleer? I could have sworn I once remember you saying, I'm not even from there. I'm from Verdun. I've never said that. Well, I have the mic and you don't, and the mics aren't even picking up what you're saying right now. So they're denying it. So we went out for dinner at some absolute dump of a restaurant in Fort Lauderdale, and I will say I really got what was coming because I was being really cocky, bro. I didn't want to look at the menu. I was like, fuck it, you know, it's a pizza place. The lady's going to come and take her orders. I'm going to look down. I'm going to take about 7 seconds to pan the menu and point and say that one. Now, here's the problem. When she came to take my order, I look at the fucking menu and all the items on the, you know, the menu, all the names of the pizzas are like weird. They're cringy. They're like the Goodfellas pizza, the fucking the Boss pizza. You know, the Capo de Tutti Capi pizza or whatever the fuck. So I was thrown off. I don't know what's what. So I just went with a margarita. And it wasn't even a margarita. Was it edible? It wasn't edible. We tried to give it to a homeless guy after. And he said no. We took it fucking home in a doggy bag. And I said, here, bro. And he goes, I can't eat that. And I think I wasn't the first one to have left that restaurant at that stoplight and tried to give him food from there. He probably, like, made that mistake once. He's like, yeah, no, I ain't touching that shit no more. So, yeah. No, I really got, I got mine. I was thinking, bah, fuck, who needs to look at the menu, bro? Milky, you know, what am I, a pussy? I'm going to fucking look at the menu, bro. I'm going to fucking look at the menu 2 seconds, and I'm going to point to an item and say, give me that, please. And I fucked up. I got the worst thing that anyone at that table ordered. Yeah. But, I mean, listen, that's what we get for going to a chain restaurant in, an Italian chain in Florida. It's not, you know, it wasn't our decision. We went, it is what it is. Listen, the real issue that night was there was an open mic happening 3 minutes away, and I found out about it, like, 10 minutes before the meal, and I was jonesing. I wanted to get up and leave, and I said, guys, can you cover for me? Like, we were there with people who were coming soon, and I was like, guys, just say I had a work emergency. I got to leave for 15 minutes. And the lady threw me a death stare, and we almost started, you know, I almost started a war over. Honestly, I think I lost 4 years off my life fucking, just like the stress of like fucking knowing, fuck, I got a thing right next door that I could go to that I want to be at more than this right now. It was, yeah, but whatever, bro. The Saudi national team has a new coach. It's Roberto Mancini. Guys. I think Chris Italia was right. Chris sent me a message. He's not on now. He might be coming on later this week. We might be banking one for next week. Fan favorite. Weren't expecting that in Florida, were ya? But he sent me a message when Mancini resigned. He said he went full Goodfellas. He said, he's a rat bastard. He's taking the money. No loyalty. He's a rat bastard. And I think he might be right. Oh, I should plug that in. You know, the more I think about it, hang on a sec. Did my mic just fuck up? Yeah, hang on. Test, 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 test. All right, we're still good. Listen, the more I think about it, the more I think about it, the more I'm open to the idea that Roberto Mancini might, despite the creative, you know, and working differences that he had with Gabriele Gravina, he might have been willing to keep his job had there not been a more lucrative offer from Saudi Arabia for what I can only assume is like at least double what he's making now, three times maybe. He's coaching the Saudi national team. He does know that he can't, like, you know, use any of the players that are signing in Saudi Arabia for the national team, right? You're still stuck with, like, Mohamed Al-Dazari, the guy who scored against, like, Argentina. He's, like, the best Saudi player, you know? He's, like, just he's a role player for Al-Hilal, who's going to lose his spot to Neymar in a month, you know? So I think he knows he's not going to do a whole hell of a lot there. He might want to go to, you know, a World Cup. But I think he's just, man, Mancini likes going to Mykonos. He likes going to nice places. He likes the finer things in life. He had like a Maserati sponsorship at one point. I think he wants to just wet his beak a little bit, you know. He just wants to fucking suck on that, you know, that nursing tit in Saudi Arabia, just get a little bit of that action. I think he's got a little FOMO. He's like, you know what, fuck it. You know, when weighed against the prospect of having to overcome a difficult challenge with Italy, with a boss that isn't like that into you anymore, it's a pretty easy decision to just go to Saudi Arabia and take the easy money, have a, you know, pretty secure path to qualifying for a World Cup where you have no expectations and where you get, you know, awarded like a $2 million car for winning a game. You know what I'm saying? But I get it, dude. Like, he's a little like me. I'll go for the money. You know, the Saudis aren't throwing money at me probably ever because I made jokes about them and they'll uncover it at some point. It's not happening, you know. Listen, if you want to sabotage me, you're an indigenous person and you've listened to like 45 minutes of this, just send a clip of a recent episode to the Saudi royal family if I get like a job there or something. Just a gig. Because assume that the gig is paying me like six figures because like money doesn't exist there. You get that for cleaning toilets. So just assume you're going to be taking like a lot of money away from me if you just fucking report me to them over there. And it's going to be a race against time to see who could fucking delete the episode first. Who could delete? Can I delete the content before you fucking screen record it? But, like, no, I get it, you know. I don't really blame him. But he might be a bit of a rat bastard. You got to admit that you're a rat bastard, though. Like, Luis Robiales right now has got to come out and say, listen, I'm a bit of a rat bastard. I'm a fucking horny pig, and it is what it is. Sometimes I'll admit, listen, I'm a bit of a fucking rat bastard. I'll take the fucking money. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was that guy who was, like, with the gun, who had, like, face tattoos, who was saying, if you come to, like, Iqaluit, I'll kill you. And I was like, yeah, all right, no problem. You know, don't fucking twist my arm. I'm not coming anyway. But, you know, if he had said, listen, if you come to Mykonos, I'll kill you, I'd have sweated a little bit because I like to go to Mykonos. You know what I'm saying? I would have liked to have gone back at some point. I might have risked it, you know? So, you understand? That's just who, you know, I am. So, that's what's up. I mean, like, more coaching changes too. Like, listen, I would have loved if Mancini, and he never would have done this, but there isn't enough money for it. But I would have loved if Mancini, can you imagine, dude, if he's going to fucking leave the Italian national team? Fucking cut. Because in Canada, we don't give a shit about whether you're Canadian or not when it comes to coaching the men's national team. Given the rules, you know, given the rules being what they are, whether you think they're stupid or not, that anyone from any country can coach any, you know, national team, it would have been really cool to have him coach Canada. Just selfishly, I would have fucking loved that. Herdman just stepped down. He's taking over Toronto now. A guy who has talked about how MLS sucks and how really the best thing you could do is go to Europe, which, by the way, he's right about that. But and then he you know, takes a job at, like, arguably one of the worst run clubs in MLS, the worst team in MLS right now. You know, the thing about Toronto is, the thing about, like, Toronto FC and MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, is money kind of doesn't exist, like, for them. Like, I mean, they kind of do have a little bit more, I think, sensibility to finance than the Saudis do, for example. But in terms of, like, you know, North American sports, they're about as careless as they can get, you know. They're about as careless as you can get financially. They don't really give that much of a shit. But in the soccer context, they pay, like, you know, $8 million to bench players for the Raptors, right? So to pay $10 million net to Lorenzo Insigne, or gross, whatever it is, to Lorenzo Insigne, you know,
is really not that much for them, right? They do have money to spend on guys that they think will help them, at least their brand, if nothing else. And, you know, Herdman's a guy who, you know, arguably is maybe one of the better men for the job. But, you know, I don't know how he'll do at club football. It'll be very interesting to see. And you know, you could really see him bombing, actually. You know? Just Toronto aren't, they're not an especially great team. They have a couple of really strong players. But, you know, he's done well everywhere he's been. I don't know. It's just being a national team coach is a little different, I think, than, you know, being a club coach. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. That's kind of one that I'm not really, you know, sure how it'll go. But it is, like, fascinating. You see why they did it. It makes, you know, a level of sense. But, yeah, I would say, you know, it's on brand for TFC, right? It is on brand for them to get a guy who's, like, maybe one of the biggest, you know, names in Canadian soccer now to coach them. There's at least, like this idea that the club is now in safe hands. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Lorenzo Insigne got into a huge spat with Terry Dunfield the other day, who was, like, the interim manager. He's, like, some guy who played, I think, as a pro, and he was, like, just a commentator in Canada for some time. Probably not cut out to be a coach, you know. Fucking Insigne has gotten coached by, like, you know, Rafa Benitez and Carlo Ancelotti before, and fucking, you know, Terry Dunfield is telling him what to do. Like, I get it. You got to swing your dick a little bit, especially when you're a little guy. You got a chip on your shoulder, right? But, you know, it really makes you wonder what the fuck is going on there with him, because I don't know if he stays another year. I mean, like, it's a cool, like, cultural moment in time for Italians in Canada that he's here, because, you know, he's the guy that every girl wants to fuck, even though he's a little guy. He has the look, you know, everything about him. He's tattooed. He's got, like, a skin fade all the time. It's just, he's the guy, right? I get it. He's the guy that, you know, dudes want to be. He's the guy who many guys my age have, like, had on their jersey when they buy a jersey, right? You got to consider, he was, like, a young guy, like, in 2014, 15, 16, you know. He was, like, a new face that a lot of people were kind of, you know, excited about. And, you know, being, like, a, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid, fuck it, you know, you like a guy like that who's a few years older than you, who feels like a more, you know, senior guy, right? It's a little weird when it's a young kid who's younger than you. But when you're a young kid and there's a, you know, relatively, you know, young player but who's still older than you, it is kind of cool to kind of, like, just follow him for some reason. I don't know. You know, you kind of follow him for, like, an entire, you know, career, almost. He was one of those guys. So it's cool that he's, like, in Canada. But, like, there's no fucking way he sees out the whole deal. He's making good money. But at a certain point, bro, you know, I think if you're just collecting a check and you're not enjoying your football, you have to wonder if it'll last. But again, he might just say, you know, my football career is done. I'm not going back to Napoli. I'm not going to any other club in Italy. So I'll just ride it out here. He probably wishes he'd gone to Saudi Arabia, and don't think he wouldn't do it. It's a real culture shock there. I mean, they have no, listen, you're not going to have guys from Woodbridge fucking saying, "Hey, Lorenzo, what's up, bro?" You know, like, at least as cringe as that is, it's kind of endearing. You know, you feel loved. He's just, the guy wants to feel loved. He's just, you know, he was the guy in Naples. He was, like, the star there. You know, I think he came here to feel loved, and I think in Saudi Arabia, I will say, the way that they show love, you know, their love language is, like, you know, gift giving and such. I feel like that would really work for a vain guy like him who dresses up his kids in Valentino two pieces, you know, matching fucking jumpsuits. So that might be the move for him, because he's not going to make more money anywhere else, right? Is he making 10 million net or gross? It might be it's not net, it's close to net. I think, like, you know, there are, like, tax shields that you can use as a foreigner. You know, I'm not really sure what fucking loopholes they're taking advantage of. But, fuck. Alternatively, he might just go back to Naples. He could go back to Naples at some point. Because it's like, Bernardeschi, I was having this conversation with someone the other day. Bernardeschi's doing very well there, and he's settling into life in Toronto. And he arguably is a smarter guy. Like, he's just a more intelligent person, probably. Picks up languages more easily. He's more curious. He's more worldly. So it makes sense that he'd be doing well. But he was also not playing a lot at Juve. So to go from that to being the guy and to be getting any confidence at all, I think, is just refreshing for him. And he seems to be rising above it. And then you take a guy like Insigne, who was meant to be the guy, you know, who you just pass the ball to and you would assume, you know, would have, like, an effect on games akin to what Messi's had since he joined Miami, or like Jovinko had when he joined Toronto. I think Jovinko did better, you know, than Insigne, because Jovinko kind of wasn't taking it for granted. He wasn't the guy where he was, you know, prior at Juve. And when he came to Toronto, he was the guy, and I think he kind of relished it. And it's almost like Insigne is not able to kind of fucking be the only guy that the whole system runs through. I mean, at Napoli, he was kind of like, he was a functional player in the system. He would connect with other, you know, forwards very well. And it's like, without that, he struggles. And it's interesting, too, because some guys will rise to whatever level they go to. But also, if you bring them down a level, they'll kind of just, like, almost morph into that level. Like, I, you know, on a personal level, I could, you know, I could attest to that. Just having gone down, like, several levels at my garbage, local level team that I'm playing for this year. You know, you it really does, you know, take a mental switch to play differently than you normally would. Because normally when I'm playing with guys that are, like, more my level, I'm, you know, making, you know, very conscious, decisions to not take crazy risks and play well and to build out the back and play correctly. And it's like when you're playing with guys who aren't quite as good and against guys who aren't quite as good, you could do more. You can get away with more. But it takes a lot to, like, make that mental shift, you know? It's almost like he hasn't been able to do that. I don't know. We'll see what happens under the new coach. I've enjoyed this pod, guys. This has been cool. I hope this episode finds you well. We'll be probably banking another episode this week, which will be out again next week. So we'll probably be doing, you know, a second Miami episode. This was cool. If you enjoy the pod, subscribe, whatever platform you're listening to this on, please rate it 5 stars. Leave a comment, like it. That'll help, you know, in the algo and shit. And thanks for tuning in. So we'll catch you soon. And until next time, alla prossima. Ciao. Beccata in discoteca con lo sguardo da serpente, io mi sono avvicinato, lei già non capiva niente, l'ho guardata, m'ha guardato e mi sono scaldato.